Nerd Soul.
Lay Ill Kid at One Young Soul holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, all year, another wonderful episode of Nerd Soul Movie Reviews. Yo, look, we gonna get started. This is the hotness. I'm gonna give you all a little piece of non-spoiler, then I'm going straight into spoilers. You know what I'm saying? So here's my non-spoiler. All right, my non-spoiler is I just saw Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part 1. Now, do I think this movie is worth seeing? If you like Mission Impossible, if you like those movies, this joint takes it up another notch. It gets crazier, the stakes are higher, it's a lot of fun, and there's a whole bunch of punching, kicking, and explosions for you. All right, the acting is on point, and must I say, your boy Tom Cruise is in top form. Now, That is all you gonna get for that non-spoiler, all right? Because I'm ready to talk about this. All right, spoiler time. If you haven't seen this movie, or if you're one of those people that's like, I don't want to know nothing, going to leave now, going to like and subscribe and then come back later. But for anyone who don't care, they're like, yeah, I'm gonna watch it anyway. I don't care what you say, going to stick around. Here's the deal. I need anyone that really feels that they got driving skills to go to the Ethan Hunt School of Driving, all right? Because he gonna take you all around the city, all right? You best believe that. He gonna switch cars on you. He gonna drive without doors. He gonna drive with doors. He gonna drive with big cars and little baby cars. He gonna drive down the steps. He gonna drive up the steps, all right? He gonna drive into the subway. He driving everywhere, all right? And when you fit, you gonna know how to parallel park, all right? You gonna know how to back up. All right, go fast on the backup, go fast on the forward. You're going to be spinning, doing donuts. You're going to learn everything, all right? So, on the real, man, as an action fan, as someone who has, you know, always enjoyed Mission Impossible, outside of the second movie, I hate to do this, but outside of the second movie, I've enjoyed these films. The second movie is just, it's a tough watch. But this film, from the villains of Gabriel to the villains of the U.S. government with, you know, like the secretary or whoever, there are enough bullets and punches to go around. And I like how they have this idea of the entity, this idea of like the, you know, the all-seeing algorithm, but it plays in a way where it doesn't seem like our heroes don't have a chance. Like, it definitely is cutting them off at every turn. You know what I'm saying? The entity is working its butt off on the digital side to stop them. I mean, it's literally erasing people from like cameras and stuff in real time. Like, so like the algorithm is working its butt off to try to beat, you know, to be our crew, from Ethan to, you know, to Benji, you know, Luther, all it, right? But it never comes off as this kind of all-seeing. I mean, it is, but at the same time, it seems like our heroes still have a chance. And that's something that I like with the stakes of this. The stakes are high. People are dying. And even people that we tied to, man. I mean, rest in peace to my girl Elsa, man. Like, I'm going to miss her. You know what I'm saying? I just finished watching the first movie that she comes into play. And it just, you know, it hurts my heart. But like I said, the stakes are high, but not so high that it seems like, why are they even trying? Agent Carter comes through as Grace. And Grace is a nice addition. I will say Grace is annoying, and not in a way where it's like, I don't like the character. It's in a way where it's like, would you please just let us help you? Like, stop. Like you running like this, you hurt me. You hurting the team. You messing things up for yourself. Like, look, just listen to me and we can run together. So like, and the cool thing is that even she kind of like realizes it later, like, yo, all of my, you know, extra running and hiding and trying to be cheeky or whatever has actually put us in a worse position. You know what I'm saying? And it's a good acknowledgement, but it does kind of show, it helps to show her and us through her the weight of this situation. Because, you know, Grace comes through, she like, yo, look, I'm just coming to steal. I steal stuff. You know, I steal, I don't kill. And she finds out real quick, that there's people that kill and they don't care if you steal. You know what I'm saying? Look, they ain't got no problem slicing throats. They ain't got no problem blowing people up. They ain't got no problem shooting nobody. And her reaction to this seems so, like, pure and natural. Because you are seeing someone who is used to being, you know, on the wrong side of the law. You know, so she's not new to, you know, the taboo or, you know, coloring outside the lines, I guess. But you can definitely see that she's like, whoa, people are dying now. And it definitely shows on her face, like, she's like, I did not know what I was getting into. Even Ethan is like, yo, you don't know what you stole, girl. Like, look, hey, you have no idea. But I like, you know, the mask changing still works in this film. I mean, I know they do it every film, but it still works in this film. Seeing Luther and Benji, I guess, more involved in the field and more involved in the decision-making side is something that I enjoy, man. The airport scene. This, matter of fact, look, let me say this before that I talk about the airport scene. There is no whack scene in this movie. Like, I'll say this. It's a good year for part ones, man. Like, part ones are probably the better movies of this year. Like, all right, if I was to say, like, the better movies of this year, we'd be talking about, like, Creed 3, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1, and Dead Reckoning Part 1. There's other movies that I like. Like, I like Transformers. I had a good time watching it. But these are definitely a cut above. And seeing how each scene is high detail, high action, high suspense. And when I say suspense, you're like, this movie opens up with a sequence where I'm like, yo, who cares about some submarine? But they're able to suck you in. And shouts out to all those actors that suck you in into, like, yo, hold up. Am I scared for these people? Like, what is going on? And why is this so important? But they lay the groundwork early on to let you know that this is not only a serious situation, but dangerous, not only due to the power of the entity, but also the fact that it is not able to be controlled. It's doing its own thing. It's literally kind of like controlling its own operatives, I guess you could say. And even to a weird sci-fi extent where Gabriel, who we see has a past with Ethan, Gabriel's in this coffin with, like, this digital mask that the entity is, I guess, I don't know, feeding them information or downloading into them. I don't know what it's doing, but it's doing something that ain't good. You know, you ain't don't nobody sleep like that. You ain't supposed to sleep like that. So it's definitely not good for our heroes. But in this, we get very early on a high stakes, high suspense, and very tense nature throughout the airport, throughout the club that they go to. Seeing that even Alana is scared of this entity and it being able to kind of predict the future to a certain degree, you know, knowing people's nature and stuff like that, and also playing out probabilities. So it delivers more than just the spectacle, but also in kind of these moments that make you kind of sit forward a little bit and wonder, okay, if this person died, if Ilsa's gone, like, is someone else gonna die in this? And, like, how safe are these people? So I like that. I like the close quarters combat. I like the crazy action sequences. The train, man. Like, what they do in the train is like, normally I'd be like, hey, we've seen this before. And I think that Christopher McQuarrie and the crew and Tom Cruise are like, yeah, we know you've seen this before, but have you seen this with cayenne pepper? Have you seen this with some adobo? Have you seen this with some Tony C's? Have you seen this with some W sauce? Like, they're always throwing a little bit of extra flavor on stuff you thought you've seen before. Like, we've seen Chases Through Rome, but no, you ain't. They threw a couple extra tricks in there. We've seen the kind of like airport scene where you're kind of trying to track somebody, but they throw a whole extra, like a whole extra hook in there with Benji and Luther and kind of keeping Ethan out of the loop and figuring out the situation with this bomb. It's exciting. It's honestly dope to see people trying. And on the action side, outside of like, I mean, I know, I guess you could say, like, superhero movies are action films, but on action films that don't really have to do with superheroes, it's good to see people still taking chances, like John Wick 4, like this movie right here, where they're like, okay, we know that, you know, maybe a chase scene has been done, or maybe an airport scene has been done, or a train scene has been done, but how can we liven it up? How can we spice it up? How can we make, you know, the audience dive in a little bit deeper? Because honestly, if you told me like, hey, we're going to do a submarine scene, I'd be like, for what? But now after seeing this, I'm like, okay, cool. This kind of Hunt for Red October suspense can still be played out even in 2023. So as someone who loves action films, as someone who is intrigued with everything Mission Impossible and spy thriller and all that stuff, they brought the heat. They brought the heat from knife fights to sword fights to fist fights, you know, fighting with a lead pipe. They made sure that they didn't leave too many stones unturned. And if they did leave one unturned, I'm assuming that it's going to be in part two. Now, I do have a question for my folks that say you've already seen the film, and maybe there's something I'm missing because it might have been in the last movie, and maybe I'm just not remembering. But they bring Kittredge in, and Kittredge is under the CIA, and I'm like, but I'm thinking that they have essentially like autonomy from them. I mean, I know they kind of like work, I mean, they're both under the government, but I'm thinking IMF has like complete autonomy from the CIA, but it still seems like this weird sort of Big Brother situation where the CIA still comes in and wants to have a say. It's like, maybe I missed something, but I'm like, yo, we IMF, like, we don't, look, y'all ain't on our level. You know what I'm saying? You sit down and let us do what we do. But Kittredge's motives, I'm not sure if I trust them right now. I know Ethan trusts him, but with something as powerful as the entity and the ability to control it, I don't know if I trust it or trust him, you know, at least not in this situation. We know that the secretary or whatever, not the secretary, maybe he was the secretary. We know he's gone. So now we're only dealing with, you know, Kittredge and whether he's going to be straight up and at least forthcoming as you can be with Grace. We got Luther in the wind, but Luther's working on a way to try to stop the entity. I do like the fact that we all ended on, you know, everybody got a little something, you know, like the entity gets away with Gabriel, still has an asset for him, for itself. But the lady did betray Gabriel and did tell, Ethan where the, or not where the submarine, but about the submarine. But then you have Ethan, he has the key, but he doesn't have a direct line because, of course, his team is kind of in the wind. I mean, you got Benji, but Benji is on his own. I mean, Benji has to do stuff as well as Luther, you know, and also we don't have Ilsa, and there's no guarantee we're going to have Grace in the next film. So there are a lot of things at play right now where I like where we ended off. We ended off in a situation where nobody really has everything they want, and it's a great stopping point. Similar to the stopping point for Across the Spider-Verse, man, I enjoyed this movie a lot. This movie comes through on an action tip, and from the chases to everything else, it's just made me even more excited to go and rewatch, you know, Rogue Nation, Fallout. I've already watched the other four because I was prepping for this movie, but I couldn't get the last two in because, you know, hey, I got the little guy at home and he can't be watching stuff like that. So do I recommend this? Yes. Do I think you should watch the bootleg? No. Not until after you watch it on the actual big screen, because stuff like this, you know, small time stuff, online stuff just ain't going to do it justice. It's just not. You know what I'm saying? If this was like a rom-com or a comedy or some drama that takes place in one house, I'd be like, sure, man, you can watch, you know, watch the bootleg on that. But this, nah, man, you got to see this as big as possible. I'm going to be honest. Like, this one is crazy. This one, it sure enough shows Tom Cruise top form. I would like to see a couple people come back because your team looking kind of slim right now, Tom. Ethan, your team looking real slim. But holler at me, I'm going to holler at you. Down in them comments, NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, podcast, all that jazz. And until the next kidnapping, until the next mask reveal, until the next algorithmic danger in our lives, this is from me to you saying peace.